praying at the top of his lungs, I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new PlayStation. I pray for a new iPad. And his older brother leaned over and nudged the younger brother and said, why are you shouting your prayers? God is not deaf. And the little boy replied, I know God's not deaf, but Grandma is. You see, God isn't deaf, and God also wants to give us gifts, so we don't have to yell, and we don't have to shout. And we're kind of entering into that gift-giving season, not just Christmas, but Thanksgiving as well. We're reminded of the gifts that God has given us. So between kind of this transition time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're going to look at what the Bible says about the gifts that God has given us. And we're going to be more grateful, maybe more thankful for the ways He's blessed us, and to be more grateful and thankful for the things He's given us, but also to motivate us for service. So we're just going to take a few weeks and unpack this idea of gifted. What does it mean to be gifted by God? What does it mean to have the gifts of the Spirit in our lives? Well, the first thing to remember is this, that the Holy Spirit is Himself God's gift to Christians in the New Testament era. The new about the new covenant is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the indwelling. They had the work of the Spirit, but He did not live in them. And so the new of the New Testament is God's gift of the Holy Spirit Himself. In fact, we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. On the day of Pentecost, when the church started, the people were cut to the heart. What shall we do? And Peter said this, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, what does it say? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we have the gift of the Spirit Himself given to us in our lives. But not only this. The Bible doesn't only teach that the Spirit is the gift to us, but the Spirit is also the giver of gifts. You see, God gives us the gift of the Spirit, but then we also receive gifts. There's two kinds of gifts that are given. One is gift of salvation, right? That's the gifts that we have of regeneration, of that heart that the Spirit takes, that stone heart, and makes it a heart of flesh. We're given that gift of new heart and of a new spirit so that we can obey and we can be a new person and be a new creation. And so there's that gift of salvation, but there's also gifts of service. It gives us ministries or abilities equipping us for service. Now, in the Old Testament saints received what? They did receive the gift of service. And so we see many in the Old Testament who were given special abilities and given special gifts to serve. But remember, they didn't have the indwelling gift of the Spirit. So we get a package when we come to Christ. We get both, right? We get the gift of the Spirit Himself, and then we give the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of interest at times in the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes things we are interested in, there can also be misunderstanding. So we just want to unpack that over the next couple weeks. Do you know the phrase spiritual gifts is never used in the New Testament the way it's used today? In fact, that phrase is only used one time in Romans 11:1, where Paul was wanting to impart some spiritual gift to the Romans. And in that context, it meant a fuller understanding of the gospel, or it meant some mutual edification, right? And so it meant that in the life of the Romans. And so the way that we use the term today really wasn't used that way in the New Testament. And so as the rule of our faith and practice, we have to go to God's Word and see what it says. But there is, and the idea means that there's this gift. There is a terminology of gifts or giftedness. And so the word most commonly used in the New Testament when it talks about gifts is the word charisma. It's where we get our word charismatic, and the basic meaning is a gift that pleases or gives joy. Now, the root of charisma is charis, and charis means grace. And you may know some folks who are named, normally they say Charis, but I know some ladies who are named Charis, right? And their name is what? It means grace. And so the basic concept is this, that God is a gift-giving God. He gives us grace and he gives us gifts. So we have this word that's used in the New Testament for gifts, and the gifts that he gives are spiritual in nature. The word spiritual has two connotations in the scripture. One is something that's empowered by the Spirit. A spiritual person is one who is being led by the Spirit. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit himself. And so a spiritual gift then is a gift that is what? Given by the Holy Spirit. Something can also be spiritual if it's talking about man's spirit or the spiritual world. And so in that sense, a spiritual gift is a gift given in relation to the life of Christians. And so when we use the word spiritual gift, here's all we're meaning. It's a gift given by the Spirit, right? And we look at the word itself tells us it's a free gift related to, right, that gift of grace, the root. It's a gift given by the Spirit. Here is a deep theological truth. Ready for this? It's a gift that is spiritual instead of physical. That's what a spiritual gift is. Christmas and birthdays, we give physical gifts, right? You'd be really mad at somebody if they gave you a spiritual gift, right? Like they had this big old box and it was wrapped up and you opened it and it was empty and you're like, what is it? And you're like, I just filled that box with love. I just poured all my love in there and I give this to you, right? Love is that spiritual thing, right? We can't see it, taste it, touch it, weigh it, measure it. It's that inanimate thing. And so all spiritual gifts are gifts given by the Spirit. Now, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. And so, Paul wants us to know what are these things. And again, in this verse, the word gifts is assumed. It literally says, now concerning spiritual things or things of the Spirit, right? But what Paul's saying is there's this giftedness that you have from the Spirit, and I want you to know what that is. Literally, he's saying, you've been given these spiritual things, and so it's given what? Spiritual gifts. Now, God participates in giving them. The same is true of Jesus, but the term spiritual gift refers to the role that the Spirit's role is prominent. So here's a good working definition of what a spiritual gift is. It's the Holy Spirit's equipping work of bestowing special ministries and abilities upon specific individuals, enabling them to perform the needed services for the people of God. Spiritual gifts, as we're going to see, are not lone ranger abilities. They're not lone ranger things. God has called us into community. When we become a believer, we are added to a body. When we become a believer, Peter says we are a spiritual stone added into what? The household of God. So our Christian faith is never about Jesus and me. It's about Jesus and we. And we've kind of lost the community aspect of our faith at times, but the Holy Spirit gives things to help us, to help the body. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:7 and in 1 Peter 4:10, we read this: a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. What does it say? For the common good. 1 Peter 4:10 says this: just as each one has received a gift, what does he say? Use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. In fact, gift and grace, remember, they're related. They're things that we are given. And in the context of what the New Testament teaches, you have been given things not to be used on yourself. You've been given things for the common good. You have been given things to what? To serve others. God never gives us gifts to puff up or build up ourselves, but always to build up the body. And if I'm using it only on myself, to puff up myself, to say how special I am and how wonderful I am misunderstanding and misusing what God has given me. Because the three spiritual truths are this: each one has a gift. Paul just said that to each one, each person. So if you are a believer in Jesus and you have the indwelling presence of the Spirit in your life, you have something for the common good. And it's hard for believers to believe this, that they have something for the common good. A lot of believers that I've talked to through the years are like, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. Did you see so-and-so? Look what they have to offer. But God has gifted you. And I want you to be encouraged. And I want you to be built up in that sense that God has given you something. Either that or he lied. Paul just said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. And if you are in Christ, guess what you are? You are each one. And so either you are in each one or you're not in each one. And the Bible says if you are in each one, you have one. And that's the truth from God's word. But we're also under obligation to use whatever gift we have. Have you ever given someone a gift and they open it with joy and they're like, oh, this is wonderful. And then like you go back to their house and you happen just to see this gift somewhere and it's still in the shrink wrap, right? It's still in the box. It's still intact and it's not been used, right? Buying Christmas presents for your parents, your older parents, they are notorious for this. Like, what do you buy them? So you just get them something, right? And what do? They don't use it. They tuck it away somewhere, right? So this Thanksgiving, if you are going to your parents' house and they are older, go into their spare room closets and look around. You have my permission. And you're going to find probably a gift you've given them that's not been used. Why? Because we don't use it, right? We don't know what to get him, so we just buy him something. And so one year for Christmas, we bought my dad one of those warming things with the scarf, and you put the little packs in it, and it warms you up. And, you know, guess where the scarf and the warming packs are? They're at my house now, right? Because he never used it. And so we are under obligation to use whatever gift we have. You know the feeling when you give someone a gift and they don't use it, and you're kind of like, Well, God gives us gifts. And he wants us to use them with joy as well. But the third thing is we're to use our gifts, right, for the sake of others. You've been given a gift. You are obligated to use your gift. You can't say, I don't have anything, because you do. And we have to use the things that God has given us. You know, a gift is only a gift when it's bestowed on others. Given and gift go together. Now, sometimes we say this, I gave a gift to myself. What does that mean? Usually what it means is this. I bought something that I didn't really need, and please don't ask questions about it because I'm calling it a gift. I've had a rough day at work. I've had a rough week at work. I've had a rough week with the kids. I've had long hours with this project, and finally it's finished, and whew, I bought myself a gift, right? In that sense, it's not a gift. You are just treating yourself. You're rewarding yourself. It's not that you feel that you don't deserve it, but the reason you're buying it is because you do deserve it. And that's the total opposite of the definition of a gift. If you are buying something because you feel that you deserve it, it's not a gift. A gift is something that is given undeserved or freely. And so we are to use our gifts for the sake of other people. You see, the often overlooked part of Christianity is this. It's the interdependence of the body. You can't be a healthy Christian without being a functioning part of a local body of believers. You just can't. You can't be a healthy Christian. Now, we all have heard people say, I can be a Christian out on the lake on Sunday morning fishing, right? And technically, yes, you can. But you cannot be a healthy Christian and doing that. You need to be plugged in and part of a body of believers. Paul says in Corinthians 12:7, and Peter in 1 Peter 4:10 says, it's what? Your gifts are for the common good. And if I'm not plugged in, there is no opportunity for the common good. It's all about my good. Common good is community good, not just my good. In fact, Paul illustrates the purpose of gifts by comparing the church to a human body. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. He uses this illustration different times in the New Testament. He uses Romans 12, which we're going to look at today, but also 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians, he talks about the body, right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, he says, "Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Now, those couple verses go against the grain of this autonomous, independent, me-only Christianity. We are part of a body. We are many members, but we're part of how many bodies? One body. We're a part of one another. And he goes on to say this: "According to the grace given us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it in according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness." What does Paul say? Many parts, one body. We have different functions. We have different gifts. But we all use them, what? For the common good. Although the body is composed of many parts, each has its own unique purpose. But the body, nonetheless, is a single organism. When you came to church today, you brought your heart and your lungs and your kidney and your liver, everything with you, right? You are one body, but all those parts have different function, but they all work together for one common goal. You see, the well-being of an individual member of the body is dependent on the other members of the body carrying out their responsibility. That's how the church works. The health of the church depends on each part doing its part. You see, as a Christian, you are a member of the body. There are some of us who are eyes, and some who are ears, and some who are fingers, right? We all have different functions, but we are part of the same body. And so, your spiritual gift, here's what the Holy Spirit gives to you, is your functioning in the member of, as a member of the body. That's your gift. Your gift, given by the Spirit to the body, is you functioning as you have been gifted. So the kidneys, kidney, and the lungs, lung, right? And the heart's heart. You do your thing, and that is your gift. When you exercise your gift and you function how God has given you, every member of the body then starts functioning as a whole. If there is a part of your body that isn't functioning correctly, what happens? You become ill. You become sick. You become, at the very least, don't feel well, right? You just know something's off. And it's the same in the church. God is depending on you. And I don't mean a you as in the plural y'all. I mean you as an individual. God is depending on you to function as your gift, as your spiritual gift to the body that you are a part of. And our motivation is not out of selfishness, but it's out of love. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul also talks about the body as the church, as the body and as the functioning. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 15, he says this: "But speaking the truth in love, let us grow every way into him who is the head." And who's the head? Christ. Now, he's using the analogy of a body. Listen, there is only one head to the body. It's Jesus. I'm not the head. There's no official who's the head, right? Jesus is the head of his body, the church. And Paul goes on and says, "From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in," what's the word? Love, right? Building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Your giftedness, what God has given you, is your proper working of your individual part for the health of the body as a whole. That is your spiritual gift. You have been given something to do in the body to help it to grow. And our motivation is out of love so that it grows up and into maturity and into the head that is Christ. And you have a part. I can't stress that enough. Everyone has a part, right? The use of our gifts springs from this compulsion to love one another. And what does love look like? It's sacrificial. It's not self-serving. It's others first. You see, not to use our gifts is unloving. We're not loving the other members of the body. God, listen, God gives us gifts so that we can give to others. We are to be a river and not a reservoir. God does not pour things into people to hoard them and to hold them. He pours things into people to flow and to serve others. That's why God gives them. Jesus sends us because God sent him. See, Jesus sent, he sends us. God gives gifts, we give gifts, right? We are to be the channels through which that goes. And so gifts are other-centered, not self-centered, right? Gifts are given freely to someone else. God gives freely to us, then we give freely to someone else. Gifts should never puff up, but gifts should build up. I have seen some of the most gifted and talented people that their head was five times the size of their body. That is a misuse and a misunderstanding of the giftedness of God. Your gift is never to puff you up, but your gift is to motivate you to serve sacrificially to other people. Thomas Edgar says this, "The very nature of gifts indicates they are given to enable the recipient to minister to others. Your gifts given to you by God as a believer are not for you. They're for others. And if you are using it on yourself, you have a misunderstanding of the giftedness, of the reason that God gives us the gifts. It's for the proper functioning of the body and the building up of the body in love." Siegfried Chasman says this, "The intent of individual giftedness for service, therefore, cannot lie in individuals, but always points to the higher goal of the corporate body in togetherness. Charismata, the gift of grace, right? Although bestowed upon individuals by the Holy Spirit, are meant for the service unto and for the upbuilding of the community as the Spirit directs." Your giftedness is for corporateness. Your giftedness is never for self. You see, it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit bestows equipping gifts to meet the needs of God's people in their historical context. God gives his church what it needs to meet the job of the church according to the time and the place and the circumstances. Just because a particular gift was present at one time in history of redemption doesn't mean it's present at all other times. In the Old Testament, for example, the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. And Moses had a unique role and a unique place. There really is no other parallel for Moses, right? He was a gift given to the nation of Israel. His specific package of gifts and abilities was for a time and for a place. Because after Moses came one. Who? It was Joshua, right? So God gifted him in his time and in his place. The building of the tabernacle, we read in the Old Testament. This wonderfully intricate place for people to worship the Lord. And we see that God gave some the skills of craftsmanship, and God gave some the skills of artisanship. You see, skills to build the tabernacle are no longer given because we don't have a tabernacle in this new era. You see, God's people no longer have need for judges or kings in the theocratic sense. And so there's no longer a need for judges or kings to be given to God's people, right? Now, countries have that, but God's people don't. In the New Testament, right, apostles were given to the church for what? To write down the doctrine that Jesus gave them, right? They were this unique thing in the life of the New Testament church. And so what that means is God will give us things and ministries in our day that we wouldn't have had even in the New Testament. Well, what do some of those look like? Well, maybe like a ministry of technology, right? People get that as they have an ability and a giftedness to do that, to build up God's people. Now listen, there was no technology in Jesus' day. There was no technology in the early church. And so the Spirit, so somebody says, I feel that maybe the Spirit has given me a ministry, a giftedness for technology. You might be right. Like, yes, why wouldn't he do that? Because we need that today. Maybe a ministry of social media. Maybe a ministry to deal addiction ministries. Yes, there were folks addicted in the New Testament, right? Had struggles. But today we see with the opioid epidemic and all kinds of synthetic drugs that didn't exist in the New Testament. And so someone says, you know, I think that maybe God has gifted me to minister to those folks. And you say, yes, that is your spiritual giftedness. Your spiritual giftedness is the ministry that God has given you to what? To meet the needs of God's people in 2017. That's how God works. In our modern world, right? We have ministries and things that the apostles have been like scratching their head, right? Facebook. What is Facebook, right? I got a book and I got a face. I don't quite know how those go together. And yet in our world today, you have been gifted to do what benefits and ministers to God's people. So to take the mystique and take the fear, perhaps, or take the misunderstanding out of spiritual gifts, it's simply this. It's a ministry God has given you to meet the needs of other people in 2017. To meet the needs of God's people today. To minister to people today where they are, the struggles we have, the developments that we have. Because God is moving, God is redeeming people, and God is adding us to the body. And he wants us to be effective today and effective now to reach more people for him. And so what's the takeaway? The takeaway is simply this. And you need to remember this. And I want to change the pronouns to I, because you need to tell yourself this. I tell myself this. I have a gift. Say that. I have a gift. If you are in Christ, you have been gifted. Right? You have been given a ministry, a place to serve the body and to build up the body. So you have it. You just may not know what it is, and we're going to unpack that over the next couple weeks. But you have a giftedness. The second thing is, I am to use my gift. Let's say that together. I am to use my gift. There is no excuse that's acceptable for not using our gifts. Busy. I don't have time. Got to run the kids here, run there. I got work late, and I got this, I got that. On and on it goes. And you know what God says? God doesn't say, oh, that's too bad. What God says is, you're too busy. You need to cut some things out of your calendar, and you need to slow down because you're not able to use the gifts that I've been giving you. And the reason you're not able to, and the danger of not using the gifts that I've given you is someone else is suffering because you're not using your gift. Imagine on the way home today, something happens. You're driving along, and the right leg that you use on the gas and the brake just decides to quit working. I'm just busy. I don't really want to be in this car. I don't really want to do this right now. It's a detriment to the rest of your body, right? Or maybe your heart. You know, your heart hasn't stopped since the day you were born, and it's done a lot of work. It's pumped a lot of gallons of blood. And your heart may just say, you know, I know my gift to the body is to keep the blood moving, but I'm just tired. I've been doing this a long time. It's time for me to retire. And if your heart retires, your body expires. That's just how it works. And there are lots of hearts in the body of Christ who have just said, you know what? I'm too busy to pump. Or I'm too tired to pump. Or I've done this a long time and I'm just going to stop. And when you stop, somebody else suffers. Do you see the interconnectedness of your life to the body? I hope you do. Because the third one is, I'm to use my gift to serve others. Let's say that together. I'm to use my gift to serve others. It's never about me. God has gifted you for someone else. He's given you something for someone else. Now, are we blessed in the process? Absolutely. Do we have joy in the process? Absolutely. You see, those are secondary benefits that I receive from using my gifts, but they're not the primary benefits. The primary benefit or the use of my gift is to serve others. And then in return, I will find joy. I don't know if your heart can be, your physical heart can be proud, your spiritual heart can. But you know what? It wouldn't be a bad thing if your physical heart got proud one day and said, you know, I've been doing my job. I've been pumping blood, and I feel really good about this. And the little kidneys are down there clapping, right? The lungs. We love you, heart. We love you. There's nothing wrong with that because we find joy, right, in using our giftedness to benefit the body. At the end of the day, if I'm just using my gift to serve me, the only person who's going to thank me is me. Or the only person who's going to appreciate me is me. And that only goes so far, doesn't it? But when I use my gift to serve others, I'm blessing the body, and I'm blessing the kingdom, and I'm doing something for someone else, and then together we are all built up. It's amazing how a small part of your body can keep you down. How big is your appendix? Size of your pinky, maybe? That little part of your body can keep you down for a day or two or three or four. Your gallbladder, how big is your gallbladder? So big, right? If that thing isn't working right, it's going to keep the whole body down. It's the same in the church. If I'm not doing my part, or I am not a healthy functioning part, what do? I keep the body down. Here's the thing. If your appendix keeps your body down, your appendix isn't going anywhere either except out. You, like right now, you have walked with your organs in you here, but if one of those organs decides to not function, you and that organ are going nowhere. It's a detriment to both. And so if I'm the kidneys of the body and I just decide I'm not going to function and I'm not going to serve others, I'm not going anywhere, because why? The body isn't going anywhere. See how that works? We are all interconnected, interdependent with one another. You and I are gifted to give. We just are. We are gifted to give. We often think Christian life is sit and be fed, is sit and receive, is sit and consume. God did not save you to sit. He saved you to serve. God did not save you to be comfortable. He saved you to function. God gave you a gift not to be spent on yourself, but to be given to others. And when we all function in that context, the church is healthy and it's growing. And it's building up in love, and it's building up into the head of Christ. Science can do a lot of things today, but it can't swap out body parts for other parts. If your kidneys are not functioning, there is no doctor who's going to say, well, there's a hole in this body right here. We have a couple extra livers. Let's just throw them in that spot and hope that it works. Or your lungs are diseased. There's no doctor who's going to say, let's just take the lungs out. We have a couple kidneys. Let's throw them in there and hope that it works. You have a function that nobody else can do. You just do. There is no one in the body of Christ who has it all and can do it all. Even Christian celebrities, right? It just cracks me up. Because behind the scenes, what you don't see is an office staff, and it is people promoting and people working. There's no such thing as a self-made Christian. And so we have a gift to serve others. We are gifted to give. I hope you have been encouraged as we head into Thanksgiving week that you have a giftedness. And your giftedness is a ministry that God has given you to serve other people, to build up the body of Christ. As we come to our time of prayer, a couple things that we need to do. One is just thank God for the gifts He has given us. Do you ever notice how we always want somebody else's gift? Like you can be the guy who can juggle chainsaws, right, and recite poetry, and yet you want to do what the other guy can do. And God's like, no, you take care of your gifts. I gave you those things. And we're not thankful sometimes because I want what you have and you want what I have. And God's saying, wait a minute, I've given you a gift. I've given it to you. So the first thing we do, we're just thankful for that, right? We're thankful for that God in his wisdom has given me the gift and the ability to carry out that ministry. So a couple things as we pray. One is just to thank God for the gifts he's given us. Another thing is just to look for ways that we can use that gift in ministry to others. And we're going to start that prayerful process of waiting. Lord, I'm not sure what it is, but how can I serve other people? And you know the way that you start serving other people? You start serving other people, right? You do something for them, and you let them go first, and you do the thing, right? And eventually the light bulb, like, oh, this is it. But I'm never going to get to that if I don't start somewhere. I remember years ago, I worked at a supermarket, and when you're first new at the supermarket, you always had to go out on the porch, which is the outside time, right? And it was a madhouse. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving was crazy. Every cart was gone. People were coming in, buying their stuff. And you, as the guy on the porch, had to help people get stuff into their cars. Then you had to get all the carts all around the parking lot because you know everyone's conscientious enough to bring them back. And so you had to do all of that. And it's raining and it's snowing and all, right? But you don't get from the outside to the inside until you start on the outside. And it's the same with ministry. I don't get sometimes to the thing I want to do until I just got to do the thing that needs done, right? And then I find out where it is that I need to serve. And so sometimes it's just waiting and just serving people. And this week, as you count your blessings, to count the giftedness that God has given you as a believer in Jesus. Maybe you don't have the gift of the Spirit in your life and you'd like to become a Christian. We can take care of that today. Have that great gift of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Maybe you haven't realized that you have a gift. And today you're just like, yes, Lord, I'm going to find the place because somebody needs my ministry. Whatever that is, as we pray and as we sing, we invite you to do that. The guys will meet you in the back to your right. If you have a specific need that you would like somebody to pray with you, we invite you to just slip back and they will just put an arm around you and say, how can we pray? Let's stand. We're going to pray. And thank God this week of Thanksgiving. Father, oftentimes we forget we're gifted. Father, we're sorry for hoarding the ministries and the gifts you've given us. We're sorry sometimes for just using them on ourselves, that we become prideful about how wonderful we are. And God, we forget it's by grace. It's a gift. God, sometimes we're just sorry because we haven't realized that others are depending on me. My functioning in the body with the ministry you've given me, someone needs that. And I need to be doing that. God, for some of us, we just need to repent that we're just so busy. We have no time. We're not busy for you. We're busy with all the stuff that we want. And so, Father, just show us. But God, over all that, over the next few moments, we just want to wait, commit ourselves to you, seek your wisdom. God, just to have you show us, give us discernment. But God, over it all, that we love one another, that as part of a functioning body, we serve one another. God, we thank you that you're the giver of gifts. We have something to give others. Show us when, where, how, and why we need to use that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.